your room.
Oh, if it is necessary, of course. But Dr. Roy...
In a moment, Miss Turner. Now, that is the village inn across the fields there. Oh,
yes, that is the Crown.
Yes, and this window would be visible from there.
Certainly.
And when your stepfather comes back, be confined to your room with a headache. Wait for him to retire for the night and open the shutters, undo the window hasp and show a lamp as a signal to us. Then withdraw to your old room and leave the rest in our hands.
I believe, Mr. Holmes, that you have already made up your mind.
Perhaps I have.
Then was it as I have thought, a sudden fright?
I believe what killed your sister was much more tangible.
We took our leave of the frightened girl and walked across the fields to the Crown, where we engaged a room on the upper floor, commanding a view of the Avenue Gate and the inhabited wing of Stoke Moran Manor House. We ordered and ate an early dinner and took our chairs to the open window and sat in companionable silence as dusk fell. A few minutes later, we saw a light spring up among the trees as Roylott lit a lamp in the sitting room.
You know, Watson, I really have some scruples about taking you tonight. There is a distinct element of danger.
Can I be of any assistance?
No, your presence would be invaluable.
Then I shall certainly come.
Oh, thank you.
Look. The light in the sitting room has gone out.
No, it's not yet 9. He's merely closed the shutters. It'll be some time yet before he retires to his chamber. But for one thing, he will want to feel Miss Stoner is asleep.
You evidently saw more in those rooms than I did.
Yeah, simply deduced a little more. The bell rope, the ventilator.
So small. A rat could hardly pass through it.
I knew we'd find one even before we came to Stoke Moran.
My dear Holmes.
You recall how Miss Stoner said her sister was driven from her room by the smell of Roylott's cigar. Well, I realized then there must be a small ventilator.
But what harm can there be in it?
Well, there is at least a curious coincidence of dates. Did you observe anything peculiar about the bed?
No.
It was clamped to the floor.
Clamped?
Indeed. It could not be moved, and must therefore always be in the same position relative to the ventilator and the bell rope, as must any head resting upon the pillow.
My God. I seem to see dimly what you're hinting at. Oh, horrible.
Horrible enough. When a doctor goes wrong, he is the first of criminals. And more horrors to come before the night is over. So, for the time being, let us have a quiet pipe and take in the beauty of the moon,
the trees, the night. And so we did. And 2 hours passed slowly away. Then suddenly, at the stroke of 11, a single bright light shone out right in front of us.
That is our signal.
We made our way quietly downstairs and out into the night, Holmes pausing only to take up a thin, whip-like cane from the stand near the inn door. There was little difficulty entering the grounds of the house, the wall having long fallen into disrepair, and we quickly made our way through the trees, across the lawn, and were just about to pull open the window of Julius Stoner's old room.
What the devil?
Oh, hold your fire, Watson. It's only the doctor's baboon.
Indeed, a nice household.
And the cheetah?
No doubt up a tree, waiting to descend on our shoulders. Now, before we go in, you will take one of the chairs, keeping your revolver on your knee, and you'll not fall asleep if you value your life. I will sit on the side of the bed with a candle and matches, and this. Shortly after we go in, I will put out the light to make him think Miss Stoner has gone to bed. And then... well, then we will see. Right, old fellow. In we go.
How shall I ever forget that dreadful vigil, broken only by the cry of the